on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
On Monday, the Oregon State Legislature began its short session for 2026, and we're going to keep up with what's going on there over the next couple of days. We begin with State Senator David Brocksmith this afternoon. David, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle. Good to be here. Welcome from your Oregon State Senate District 1 office in the state capitol.
And give us an overview of sort of what took place the first day or what things were like getting it all started again.
Well, yesterday was a busy day. We convened the Senate at 8:30, Ways and Means committee meeting at 10. Of course, a number of bills moving forward. There was a public hearing, informational hearing on one of my bills on the first day in Senate Judiciary, and that is a piece of legislation that would direct the, and we've talked about it before, but would direct the cannabis tax dollars that fund treatment away from the Oregon Health Authority, that frankly is an abyss, and the Oregon Accountability Commission that doesn't have any accountability, and pass them through a new subcommittee of the Criminal Justice Commission, because they are a fantastic functioning agency. That would be the Behavioral Health and Deflection Commission, to where those dollars would then go to the counties, and the counties would create the MOUs and contracts with the service providers within the county so that there's accountability to the citizens. And so I'm hopeful that we will then have the works, we have another public hearing on that bill tomorrow in Senate Judiciary, and then set it up for a work session to go ahead and move it out. It doesn't have to go to Ways and Means because it doesn't have any budgetary impact to the state's budget. The dollars to run the organization or the program are within this, are taken from those cannabis dollars. And I can tell you that the CJC can do it cheaper than the OHA. And then we had a public hearing on 4145, which was the Democrats' gun bill, and basically legislatively imposing Measure 114 that, of course, barely passed by the citizens in 2022, that is now caught up. It's on hold because it's now within in front of the Supreme Court. And so I was pretty upset, as many constituents were, as well as Oregonians across the state, because normally you have a 24 hours notice when it comes to a bill that's going to have a public hearing. Well, there was no ability for anyone to submit testimony in any way or sign up to testify until after 9:30 yesterday morning, because no bills were technically active until after they were sent to a committee. And so myself, Representative Boyce, Representative Scarlatos, Representative Deal, were on a panel and testified against the legislation. And really, my argument was process. The fact that this situation is in the judicial branch as we speak, and any legislation just needs to have language that talks about how we need to delay the implementation of anything so that we can give time for the process to go through the courts.
One of the things I didn't hear really anything or see anything about today was the transportation tax referendum. Did that get talked about?
Well, it was talked about by Senator Drazen on the Senate floor yesterday, and I agree with her sentiments, and that is, and of course, Representative Osborne mentioned it on the House floor yesterday as well. But Senator Drazen spoke about the people, over 250,000 Oregonians signing the referral in that referral that they signed directed that vote to take place in November. And it would essentially be against the public sentiment and the referendum itself if the Democrats just want to go ahead and create legislation that then puts it in the May ballot where you have historically low turnouts. More importantly, I and others argue that the 1935 opinion from the Attorney General in Oregon that said that the governor and the Democrat supermajority could not repeal the base bill, as you remember they originally intended to do, would extend to essentially repealing the referral to the November ballot. You have a situation, again, where the citizens signed to put it on the November ballot. Many of us believe that the AG opinion extends to the fact that you can't just move the date of the election just because you don't like it. So we started that conversation yesterday on the first day, and I have yet to see a bill from them on moving that date, but we will wait and see.
And is this issue really going to take up so much space it may knock other things off the map?
Well, I believe that both the House and the Senate Republicans are firm in our convictions to listen to the people and the people that signed that referendum and where they wanted the date. I mean, we could have said that we were going to collect those signatures for a May ballot. You have the Secretary of State came out with some timelines on when he feels that if they were going to pass a bill, February 25th, he would need to have all the language in order to get it on the May ballot because there's timelines involved with that. But it disenfranchises voters even then, which is one of the concerns that we have, because it limits the time to get those for and against arguments vetted and published within the voter's pamphlet, right? And so you're taking away the citizens' advantage to get those arguments in place. So I know that if they try to move it, there'll be strict opposition. I know that there will be lawsuits that will be filed, I'm sure, across the state on that. And so, yes, it will suck up some air in the room. Of course, we don't get the revenue forecast until tomorrow. I'm shifting gears on you, Kyle. But so with regards to, you know, the transportation package itself, we know that the Republicans back in the long session were moving forward and had a bill, had amendments to their bill that would allow for the department or ODOT redirect the existing resources to fund the road maintenance. We identified up to $502 million that they could do so. The governor has conceded that that's what she's going to do finally. But I have yet to see that legislation as well.
Now, what about the tone of lawmakers walking in yesterday or as people came in over the weekend? A lot of things here seem like it's going to get pretty contentious.
Well, there's some bad bills, Kyle. I mean, it is going to get contentious. There's a number of bad bills coming up tomorrow when it comes to Workforce Standards Board, when it comes to they're having Senate Bill 1507, which is a sales tax conversation tomorrow. They're having I'm just looking through my bad bills list. They have some bills on immigration. They have some bills. They're creating a climate super fund, which is a bad bill. They have bills that are related to immigration and customs enforcement. They have bills that would you know, change the Constitution with regards to elections and minor parties. You know, a number of just really bad bills that are moving forward and getting hearings. And so, you know, again, there's supermajority Democrats in both the House and the Senate, and we only have limited tools in order to be able to get our constituents' voices heard. And I'm glad that for everyone that engages in the process and goes ahead and submits the testimony to give us their opinion, because it's critically helpful as we move forward, as I reference at my colleagues and I reference it when we're arguing against these bad bills.
All right, we're going to take a break, talk more about what's happening in Salem. State Senator David Brock Smith, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Another program from Salem. We're going to talk to State Representative Virgil Osborne on Inside Douglas County as the lawmakers are back in for 35 days. State Senator David Brock Smith on with us now. I noticed some legislation yesterday regarding protecting victims of domestic violence that I'm not exactly sure what the presentation was. What can you tell me about that?
I can't, Kyle, because I'm not in those committees and I wasn't aware of that bill. But I can tell you that they did come out with the bill 1507 that we've all been talking about, the disconnect from the federal H.R. 1 tax bill. And so 1507 would disconnect Oregon from the federal tax code and those benefits. So mind you, when I say that the plan would preserve $291 million, that's $291 million that small businesses and Oregonians would be able to keep in their pockets if it weren't for the Democrat supermajority taking it away from them. So for example, 25 million of the preserved tax revenue would be a tax credit, would take it away as from the tax credit for the business that create new jobs in Oregon. The bill would direct 25 million to do that. However, it's taking that money from my email here and going over. It would take $36 million from the qualified small business stock exemption. That's taking money from those small businesses that they would otherwise be able to invest. It would take, I apologize, Kyle. It takes millions from the legislation that would allow Oregonians to write off the interest on their car loan. That was in H.R. 1. And it would also take another portion of millions from the small business. We will know more when they present the bill, and that has a public hearing on the 4th tomorrow.
Just the fact that you're going through all of this is probably a good indication that there's a lot of things being thrown at you right now, and just trying to keep track of all this has got to be a bit much.
Well, it's kind of like playing whack-a-mole, Kyle, and so I apologize. I mean, the bill basically came out And so we really haven't had, we're just now analyzing it, and I haven't got the white paper on it, on what it all is doing, unfortunately. But we will be prepared, of course, by the hearing tomorrow.
Now, you mentioned the revenue forecast is coming out tomorrow. Any inkling how that's going to look?
Well, everyone says that the revenue is going to be up, but I have my doubts. And if it is up, I fear that it's artificially up for political reasons, for the Democrat supermajority. We know that, 39th in business friendliness in the nation and other factors with regards to taxes imposing on small business in the state is having large corporations leave the state, and those large corporations pay taxes. So I'm concerned about how the revenue forecast could be inflated for political reasons, but that's just my and maybe a few of my colleagues' opinions.
Now, are the lawmakers, are you guys in session Monday through Friday? Or are there weekend sessions? How does this short session format work?
Well, it all depends on what the presiding officers decide to do. So we are currently scheduled. So I'm on the Public Safety Subcommittee for Ways and Means. And, of course, full Ways and Means. And so full Ways and Means is meeting this evening at 5 o'clock for 3 hours. And then it looks like 2 hours. We met yesterday, and then we meet again on Friday. Today I'm getting ready to head into Veterans and Emergency Preparedness and Federal War Affairs Committee meeting at 1 o'clock. I'll be leaving that committee meeting to go over to the Natural Resources and Wildfire Committee to testify against Senate Bill 1590, which is a piece of legislation that it's kind of ridiculous. It would prohibit public bodies from assisting the federal government with privatization of certain federally owned lands. It ironically sunsets in January of 2029 after President Trump is no longer in office. But it is something that could have negative impacts with agencies and private landowners that either lease federal land for farming and agricultural purposes, grazing purposes. The definitions are lacking, and the bill is pretty ambiguous. So I'm hoping that we'll be talking about that. And I have an amendment to the bill because we know that Oregon Department of Forestry is going broke, essentially, because of the Habitat Conservation Plan that was passed. I had legislation last session that would have legislated the Alternative 5 that was the generally accepted alternative that would keep harvest levels up, jobs up, and those dollars flowing to not only the Oregon Department of Forestry, but also because these are state forest trust lands, so also the entities such as the Jewell School District and others that need those resources to fund services. And I have a gut and stuff amendment. It's the -2 amendment for that bill that would put that that HCP Alternative 5 in there, which is much, much better use of a relating to clause that is public lands. So when you talk about not only the bills coming at you, I have a number of amendments. I have an amendment for Mercy Hospital and working with them there, Russ, that increases the insured patients over screening for insured patients over 1,500 rather than 500 because those write-offs, quote unquote, are negatively impacting the hospital's bottom line. But they also are going to have to go from a nursing staffing from 1-to-5 patient ratio to 1-to-4 in July, which will have a huge, $5 to $6 million impact to their budget that they can't afford. I have another amendment with regards to recreational liability and expanding recreational liability across the state. Right now there's a bill that just focused on ski resorts, but we need to fix the recreational liability for our bike. In my district, we have lots of state parks that have, you know, biking, and this would assist in county parks. So it's not all, I can't write all the bills that I would like, but we can write unlimited amendments to bills to try to get things done, Tom.
All right, out of time for now. We'll check it again soon. State Senator David Brock Smith in Salem, thanks for being on.
Thanks, Tom.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 1230 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.